Last night, I had the phone call, you know, at the midnight hour of another shooting that happened right by Catholic High School in a neighborhood called Bell's Head. And so my plea today is that if you know something, say something. We've had all these killings throughout our community, and not just District 3, but through all five of our districts, and unfortunately, people are not coming forward.
Commissioner May, I feel for what you said with kids, but in the last 24 hours, we had an adult kill someone on North Loop. I talked to the sheriff this morning about something else. We had a homeless shoot another homeless person. That one didn't end up deceased, but it's in the hospital. I don't know what's going on. It seems like the shootings, doesn't matter if it's, I know, kids everywhere. So it's going on everywhere.
You heard the county commissioners there, Lumen May first, and then Mike Kohler, District 3, and then District 2, talking about the various murders that we've had in Escambia County. Lots of shootings lately. Sheriff Chip Simmons, who Mike mentioned talking to him, is joining us this morning. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Always good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Yeah, it does seem like there's been a lot, and we have more on the agenda for today to talk about these incidents. We talk about each one individually because everyone is an individual case, but as an overall pattern, do you feel like things are getting better? Do you feel like, I mean, what's your sense of this? Because you live it every day, and your deputies and detectives deal with this stuff every day. It feels to me as a citizen like it's not getting much better, but you tell me, what's your perception?
Well, I mean, obviously one is too many, right? When you have these things, and we do investigate them as a one-off type of thing, and we look at those. I had about three or four shootings to talk about today,
yeah.
And all of them but that one is a one-on-one type of thing. It's not a drive-by.
It's not part of a pattern.
Not a random thing. In fact, none of these are random. They're all either acquaintances or spouses in one case that we had overnight. The case that Commissioner May was talking about, we have investigators out. We have several suspects. We're looking into whether that is drug related. Again, I talk a lot about what the root cause of these shootings are, this violence is, and it is drug related or is domestic. And that's what you'll see. I think we do have one where some homeless people got into an argument over a bicycle that resulted in. I think we had one last week that shooting was a result of a cigarette, asking for a cigarette. So those are, I mean, you know, that's kind of, those are unique,
yeah.
Is my point. And I will tell you, we go through by statistics. And if you say, well, is it getting better? Our homicide numbers are almost identical to what they were last year.
Okay.
And a couple years ago and a couple years before that. You know, again, one is too many. We typically go by, are things getting better based on our calls for service? Or are we getting fewer calls? Because you're always going to have these small groups of people that decide they're going to do drugs or rip someone off, or there's going to be some people that decide that in a domestic situation that gun violence is the only way around it.
Yeah.
We had a murder-suicide 2 weeks ago where a mother took the life of her small child and then took her own life. So those things are difficult for us to prevent from a law enforcement standpoint. But the calls for service are down this year compared to last year, and they're down this year. Last year they were down compared to the year before. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the calls, call volume that we're getting, yeah, they're down, not significant, but by a couple thousand calls a year. So you know, if we think that if we continue to push forward with again the boots on the street and getting more deputies on the street, but also the technology and the cameras that we've talked about a lot over the last year or so.
Yeah.
I think that that's starting to make having some impact. In fact, later on, I'll discuss the use of the cameras in real time crime center on one of these cases that we've had.
Yeah, and that's something that Lumen mentioned specifically is that you've been real good working with them on cameras and getting more awareness, more patrols in high intensity areas, which we know. I mean, there are certain parts of town that that's where you're going to have more crime. So, what can we do there? Let's talk about a couple of the particulars. This is one that doesn't so much fit a pattern, I guess, but overnight, out on Pensacola Beach. On Via de Luna, we had a shooting.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Was a domestic situation. Let's see here. It looks like a wife. Who shot who here? Let me double check my. the victim was shot by his wife during a disturbance. Basically, a man and wife got in an argument at their home, I guess, on Pensacola Beach, or where they were staying on Pensacola Beach. She ends up shooting him. He was transported to the hospital. He's still alive, as far as I know. But okay. She was charged with attempted homicide.
Okay,
attempted murder.
Okay, and then you mentioned there were several. One was the homeless case where this is Beggs Lane, right? Fight over bike.
Yeah. A guy said he was bugging him a lot, and then he said the victim allegedly said he was gonna go tear up your bicycle, and the one homeless guy shot the other homeless guy because he was trying to protect his bicycle. We didn't charge him with attempted homicide in that case. I talked to investigators about why. If you shoot somebody, it's an uphill battle to get us to not charge you with attempted homicide. You point a gun at somebody, you're trying to kill them. But in this situation, apparently he aimed low and he attempted to not kill him. But
so he missed in hitting.
Yeah. Well, he did hit him in a leg or in the lower abdomen.
But area. I mean, he was trying to miss and he missed missing.
Yeah. Okay. So he's charged with attempted battery. I'm sorry, aggravated battery. Of the attempted murder.
You may not be able to answer this question, but is the average homeless person carrying a gun?
I would say no. I like to say no. I would tell you that Beggs Lane specifically, if you've been by there, there's a lot of people down there that we do get some calls for service there. And when I say calls for service, they have a stabbing and we have a shooting. This is not an area that's immune to the some of the violence that we've seen. So you can kind of look at these areas of Escambia County. And there's some areas in like the shot spotter areas where we have seen a heavier instance of gun violence. And that's why we put the shot spotter system there in those 3 square miles. But Beggs Lane is beginning to get more and more violent.
We also had the one on Fairfield that Lumen was talking about. He called it in the Bell's Head community where a young man named Stank, I guess is the nickname that he goes by, was shot and killed. Is that right? Who played for Lumen, which a lot of these kids have played for Lumen and CISA. So what happened in that case?
That's what I was talking about. We have basically was out front of the of residence there, and he ends up getting shot by, it looks like, 3 to 4 people that were in another car. And again, we're looking to see if that was drug related.
Okay.
We're investigating it. We do have several suspects in this case, but we're going to continue with the investigation. And ultimately we feel like we'll be able to make some arrests.
So I do have a question. You made me think of something. I'm always thinking, what do we need to do? Where's the problem, right? What's the problem and how does the problem get fixed? Okay. I can't tell you how many times that we see particularly gang or drug or, young unmarried male, which is very often involved in some kind of criminal activity, winds up being the victim of a shooting, whether they were involved in crime at the time. Typically, yes. Okay. But, and then the family comes on, and particularly mom crying about her baby, her beautiful angel who never did anything wrong. And we show some picture on TV of this person at their very best in life. Do they know that's not true, or do they not know what's going on with their kids' lives? Or, because it feels like there's an unwillingness to accept the reality of my kid is a problem, and if the parents can't even admit the problem, then how? Do they know? Are they lying to me when they're on TV crying, or do they not know, or like willful self-deception?
We're still in the middle of that investigation, so I won't comment on that.
Yeah, and I don't mean that one in particular. It just makes me think in general. I hear this a lot, right? And it
in
turns
general,
out they were.
They know.
Okay.
Here's the thing. They know what's going on. They've known for some time. The many times, the victims and the suspects both have extensive criminal felony records.
Yeah.
To include getting shot, shooting at people, all these sorts of things. And I talked a couple of months ago at a press conference I did, and I said, these are the people responsible. These are There is a personal responsibility here, and the person that's responsible in these situations are the people who's committing the crimes. They're committing crimes, and that leads to an escalation of violence, and then they'll pick up a gun and they'll end up shooting, someone or robbing somebody. And then, like you said, do the parents and the family know? I'm not saying they shouldn't mourn the loss of a loved one. They certainly should do that. But to get out there and pretend like some of these people are angels is just not accurate. And it's but if you want to remember your loved one that way, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But you're not going to convince me of that, because I know the criminal histories of a lot of people that are involved in these shootings.
I guess
this isn't their first crime.
I guess I feel like just one time I'd like to hear a parent say, you know what? Yeah, they were a mess. They were involved in crime. I don't like to say it because it's my kid, and I'm in deep. Even a bad kid, you mourn the loss of. But It's like this constant refrain that these wonderful, delightful, fantastic, law-abiding, straight-A students just suddenly wound up in the middle of a gang shooting. You know what I mean? And, happen, but that's not the norm.
And it gets even deeper than that. Obviously, there are, again, not speaking of specifics, I will tell you that there are people that come to us, family members that do come to us, friends and acquaintances that do come to us, and they say, well, he's going down a bad path, or, he had been, in a fight with these people or those people. So they do know that. The other issue is kind of what Commissioner May was referring to, is if you know something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so my point is it gets worse than that, because they don't say anything. They won't cooperate. There's video cameras on the house, and we ask if they've got video. No, we don't have video. Have you seen anything? No, we haven't seen anything. Do you know who he's had a beef with or she's had a beef with? No, we don't know anything about anything. Or they just won't talk to us at all. They just go back into their house. So, I happen to believe that they know Junior's involved in bad stuff almost every time. And then they still refuse to cooperate. So what are you going to do?
I guess I'm just kind of thinking out loud about this for the first time, but we've recently seen this new use of law to punish the parents of school shooters, who gave them the gun, right, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of thinking in that direction is, when will the parents become accountable? And step one is maybe just stop lying, but just that's kind of where my head's at. And I just was kind of bouncing ideas off of you.
I mentioned this again a couple of weeks ago. If your loved one comes home with a new car every day, or he's got people that are around the house and they're always carrying guns and they always got money, but they don't have a job, something's going on.
Right.
If you pretend to be oblivious, it's on you. That's your fault. So, there's a lot of merit to what you say, and that these families do know or they suspect something. My heart breaks for the families that call us up and say, hey, I'm having trouble with my son or my daughter, and I don't know what to do. And we try our best to help them. At least they're trying to help. They understand that this is going to lead to a bad ending. But there are some who just simply try to ignore it or just lie about it.
And to your credit, you do things like the Blazer Academy and you do community outreach, and you guys just graduated another group last week. There's a lot of good things being done, and, there's actual positive effort being done to fix it. I just think of, what's the real shape of the problem in some of these families, and, that's it. I did want to not go without asking about this other case, though. I think David Kuker is the person's name, who was inside a car kind of standing guard at a house or something, and then his friend came over and he shot him through and that's an unjustified shooting, right?
Yeah. He and an acquaintance were concerned about an outside party, and it gets confusing, but an outside party they were afraid of. And so he thought that he would lay in wait basically in the back seat of a car. I think he's at his sister's house, and his acquaintance was on the front porch or in the house. And that acquaintance gets up and says, hey, well, I haven't seen him in a while. So he goes over to the car and he shoots him through the back window of the car.
Like shooting out of the car.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. From the inside of the car. Yeah. He gets, I'm assuming, startled or whatever, but he ends up shooting out through the window, and there was no reason to. So it wasn't reasonable. We ended up charging him with manslaughter, which is, a death due to gross negligence, action or inaction. And we ended up charging him with that manslaughter. So these are unique. Again,
they
are one-offs.
There's a bunch of them, but they're all weird ones. Yeah,
and all the domestic ones. But I really do believe, getting back to your point, I believe that we are on a good path here. I think that the numbers, again, the homicide numbers are about what they were last couple of years, and not what they were 10, 20 years ago. But also the call volume, again, down a couple thousand here and there, is going to end up making a big difference. The fact that I've been working with the county commission, getting more deputies based upon our increase in our population.
Mm-hmm.
And then the basically just the transitions of where people live and what areas people are attracted to. And then I think with the technology and the cameras, I think we're on a good track here. I think you'll see a lot of positive things going on in the public safety of Rome.
Very good. And just a moment, because I want to just make sure we don't go without mentioning it, but you're preparing another team to deploy, if needed, to this hurricane, to Milton.
Yeah, we got the call a couple of days ago from Florida Sheriff's Association to let us know what you can deploy, because a lot of teams are just now getting back. As you recall, we've been
from
back
Helene,
for about
yeah,
a week now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we've unpacked everything, but we just leave it in the truck now, load up the trucks again, because this looks like it's going to be a pretty bad one. And depending upon where it hits, they're going to need a lot of help. I know, Escambia County is probably the farthest away from them.
Right.
But we're gonna go, because again, this could be us next week. It could be us next year. And the partnerships that we have with other law enforcement agencies to help each other out is just tremendous.
And as we're often talking about with the emergency manager folks, it's experience and seasoning, and all of those things contribute to a more effective police force if and when we have to deal with it ourselves. Sheriff Chip Simmons from Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for indulging me a little bit in my kind of, little odd questions today. But, I just think we need to talk about some of this stuff, and sometimes we avoid it because it's uncomfortable. So thank you. I appreciate it, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.